Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to take this afternoon to get together again. Hope you're having a blessed day, that you've been busy as you come to the end of your week and you're looking forward to the weekend. Almost there. Well, for some of you, you're already there. Probably for many of us, you're not actually having to work anyway. So, I suppose it depends on your outcome. Either way, it's great to have you with us. I think we're up to number 18 today, and it's good to open up the Lord's Word. So, if you want to open up your Bible to the book of James, we're going to be looking at James, and we're up to chapter 3. If this is your first time with us, we've been working our way through the book of James recently, and we find ourselves at the beginning of the third chapter, that wonderful chapter on the use of the tongue. Wonderful, and yet very convicting. I'm sure many of us who have spent time in James before have felt the struggle of his teaching on the tongue and just how real it is. But we're going to be looking at just the first two verses today, so I'll invite you to open that up. We'll be reading James chapter 3, but before we do that, let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for it is rich, it is good, it is helpful, it builds us up, and it shows the beauty of Jesus. And so we pray this afternoon that as we read your word, that you would help us to have hearts that would be ready to believe, minds that would be ready to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, James chapter 3 from verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged Let me start that again. I'm a bit lost this afternoon, apparently. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So far, the reading of God's word. Well, as I said, we're going to be thinking about the tongue, and today we're not going to think so much about the tongue as we are teachers. Tomorrow we'll more generally think about the use of the tongue as it applies to all of us. But James starts off really just honing in on teachers, honing in on people like himself. And it's always a challenge as a teacher or a preacher when you get to passages like this, because it really strictly applies to yourself. And so the challenge is, well, what does it mean for other people? What does it mean for those who aren't teachers? What does it mean for those who aren't preachers? And what I want us to do is just to consider why James says what he says, and then think about what that means for you. Think about how that applies to you. And what should be your response, maybe, if you're not a teacher and you hear this teaching? So what does James have to say to us? Firstly, he says that not many people should be teachers. And you might think to yourself, well, that seems like an odd thing to say. Jesus says that we need to pray for workers. Other times we're told that teaching is an honorable thing to do. So shouldn't we be wanting to be teachers? Shouldn't we be pursuing that? Why does James say, don't rush to become a teacher? Don't sort of push yourself forward for it quickly. Well, the reason he says not to rush into being a teacher is that teachers get judged more severely or with more strictness or harshly. Maybe you struggle with that idea. What does James mean by being judged more strictly? What is the judgment he's referring to? Because, of course, we use judgment in a few different ways, don't we? When we talk about the judgment, we think of the final judgment where Jesus sends the goats to one side and the sheep to the other, where he sends some to eternal life and some to eternal destruction. But then we also talk about the judgment when, as Paul says, everything will go through the fire of purifying, and we'll find out if what we have built will last. The great day of accounting, in a sense. And then we also talk about judging in the sense of the Word of God separating people in this lifetime. So what's James talking about when he says that teachers are going to face a stricter judgment? Well, I think given the context, it makes the most sense that he's thinking about the idea of a day of accounting, a day when we give an account for what we've done. And Paul's very clear, and so is Jesus, and so is others, that there is a time of judgment at the return of Christ when we will give an answer for how we've lived our life. And James says, if you're a teacher, that time of judgment will be harsher, more strict, more challenging, more difficult. Almost like saying the room for error will be a lot smaller for the teacher than for the person who sits and is taught. So the reason he doesn't want you to rush into being a teacher is the reality of what it means for you. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about how much teaching and how much talking I'm doing right now. And I briefly worked it out using sort of averages of how fast people speak. And on average, I'm currently probably saying, 20,000 words every week just in Sunday sermons and devotions. So that doesn't include when I'm speaking to someone on the phone, when I'm taking a devotion somewhere else. But there's 20,000 words which I must give an account for as a preacher and teacher. That's an intimidating thought, isn't it? And so James says, be aware that if you're wanting to rush into teaching, that's a reality for you. Now, as I prepare sermons, devotions, other things, one of the things that often comes into my mind is one day I will give an account for what I say on Sunday, on Tuesday, on Thursday. And not only is it because we'll be judged more strictly, but James recognizes that all of us fall. And so the implication, we're all going to be judged. And James says, not only are we all going to be judged, but we're all going to stumble. Have a look at verse 2. We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. James's point, of course, is you're going to be judged as a teacher, but guess what? Everybody falls. Now, if everybody falls in many different ways, in a whole bunch of different ways, then how much harder is it for the teacher whose main thing he does is use his tongue? You see, the implication, of course, is that we all stumble in many ways, but the tongue is one of the main ways we stumble, isn't it? Isn't it so hard to control? It's so easy. Even just think about your marital relationship. If you're married, you try and say something to your husband or wife and it just comes out completely wrong. And you just mess it all up. Well, if you're speaking 20,000 words a week, James's point is some percentage of those are going to stumble. You're going to stumble in some area in the way you speak and teach. And you're going to have to give an account for that. So be very careful before you rush into it. Now, I don't think James's point is to discourage people who have a heart for teaching and preaching. We shouldn't be discouraged from that. If God's called us to do that, then we must pursue it with all of our might and all of our zeal, and God will help us in our weakness to preach and teach. I think his main concern is discouraging people who are pushing into that foolhardy reasons. discouraging people who are rushing into that because of the seeming honor that's in that, the seeming honor that's in doing that type of a ministry. It's often the case, isn't it, that we sort of say, wow, look at the preacher, he's really important. Look at the Bible study leader, they're really important. But then when we look at other people, we don't consider their roles very important. And James is trying to say, don't rush into taking those roles. Think very carefully and very seriously before you do that. But what does this mean for you if you're not a teacher? Now, if you're a teacher, this has obvious implications. You have to be very careful how you teach. You have to be very concerned with what you're doing. You have to be very precise. You have to work hard, laboring with all your might to ensure that you're speaking true and speaking well. But what does this mean if you're not a teacher? How should you respond to this? And I want to suggest three very simple things for you. If you're just a member of your church, maybe you don't do any teaching at all, I want to suggest three appropriate responses for you. And firstly, I want to encourage you to honor your preachers. Honor your preachers, honor your teachers, honor those who lead you. Because that's what the Word of God calls us to do. In 1 Timothy 5, we read the following. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. It's a great burden to be a preacher and a teacher. And it feels weird saying this to you, but this is just the reality. It's a very large labor and burden to do it. It is hard work. So honor and respect your pastor. Whether it's me or whether it's someone else, whoever teaches you, give that person double the honor, double the respect, as the scriptures say. So firstly, honor your preachers and teachers. Secondly, pray for your preachers and teachers. Paul writes again, Ephesians 6, pray also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And so Paul's saying, pray for me because without your prayers, I'm not going to be able to teach and preach the mystery of the gospel. You see, Paul recognizes that preaching and teaching and proclaiming ministry is unbelievably hard work and very challenging. And he recognized he's desperately dependent upon the Word of God. He's desperately dependent upon the help of God. And so he pleads with the Ephesians to pray for him. And I would plead with you for myself, and I'd plead with you for your minister, for your pastor. Pray for them. Pray for them that they might be able to say faithfully, not what they want, but what the Word of God says. They need your prayers in this regard. So firstly, honor your preacher. Secondly, pray for your preacher. And thirdly, listen to your preacher. Listen to your preacher. James says in chapter 1, verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the word of God. So, as the preacher stands and preaches, as the teacher teaches, as the word comes to you from the preacher or teacher, listen. Believe. Do. It will mean nothing more to your preacher and teacher than to see the word bearing fruit, than to see the word being applied. You know, it's one of the greatest encouragements as a preacher is when, not just when people say comments to you, that can be encouraging, but when you see the word bringing change in people's lives and a person has changed their life because of what the teaching and the preaching has declared. So let me encourage you as a member of a church. If you're not a member of a church, I encourage you to become one. But as you sit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, Remember the great burden that the preacher is under. Don't be fast to criticize. Be slow to criticize. I guarantee you that the preacher that's standing there will be infinitely more critical of himself than you are. And he will be extremely broken, just in general. So pray for him. Listen to him. Honor him. They're the people God's given you. And they've got a stricter judge than you. They have a stricter judge than you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the different preachers and teachers that you've given your church. That around the world there are men who stand up in your pulpits and declare the word of God. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up more. Yet we pray that you would raise up men of your choosing. We ask, Lord, that you would help us as hearers, not only to be hearers, but to be doers, that you would help us to pray for our leaders and our preachers, and that you'd help us to respect them and give them due honor. Lord, would you be with our teachers and preachers as they labor week in and week out, preparing towards Sundays, preparing for other things? Would you fill them with a love for the work that you've called them to? And we just thank you so much for their labors and how much it blesses us in so many different ways. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, you might see, let me move my hand, Ryan sitting here. My mother-in-law noticed him sitting back there joining in for the devotion. The reason I've got Ryan sitting back here is next week we're starting a new segment on Wednesday, which is going to be Bible time with Ryan. So Ryan's going to be joining us for Bible. Well, actually, Ryan's going to be hosting Bible time and I'm going to be joining him. We're going to be doing some stuff for the kids. So if you've got any grandkids or any children, or if you are a child and you want to join us, we're going to be going live on Wednesday at 10 a.m. And we'll be doing it every Wednesday for now. And we'll just be going through some Bible stories, thinking about some things to do with that. And then I'll be encouraging you to fill out do some drawings or do some other things and get your parents to send them through to me. And we'll highlight some of them. We'll have a bit of fun. So that'll be really good. Encourage you to join in. And if you can't make it live, watch the recording with your grandkids later. Ryan will be there. I'll be there. Will you? Well, the Lord's richest blessings as you can go about the rest of your day.
close.